1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Amen. This is God's word to us. Let's just bow our heads for a moment and let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for being able to sing those old choruses this evening. We thank you for the reminder of your great and your wonderful love for us. We thank you that every sin had to go beneath the cleansing flow. We thank you that you cleansed our hearts from sin. Lord, as we think on that this evening, as we think on your Son's sacrifice on the cross, we pray that you would just help us to think on your word here for a moment or two, and that you would just encourage us this evening about what it is to come and to remember Jesus around the communion table this evening. So Lord, touch our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been a wee bit of a week of children's mission, young people's mission, so I'm sure you'll allow me a little story from a children's talk. Not from anybody's home this week. You'll be pleased to hear the hosts that had them for dinner. But just a children's talk. During the talk one Sunday, the minister was talking about communion and what it was all about. He says the Bible tells us that communion is a joyful feast. What does that mean, he said? Well, joyful means happy, right? And he says a feast is a meal. So a joyful feast is a happy meal. And he paused and then he asked, "What are the three things that we need for a happy meal?" One little boy, you see where this is going, don't you? One little boy put up his hand and said, "Hamburger, fries and a regular soft drink." Working with kids, of course. That was terrible, I know. It's okay. It's the end of a children's mission week. I'm tired. Working with kids always brings up wonderful answers for us. On a more serious note, though, we often play games with our kids, don't we? Hide and seek, for instance. We encourage them to close their eyes and to count to 10, and we run away and we hide. And then at the count of 10, they shout out, "We're coming to find you." And they come and they try and find us where we are. At other times, we'll bring out a surprise and we'll tell them it's time to look or time not to. I often remember when I worked in the bank, travelling down to Chester. And it was always a bit of a jaunt, so I'd go down and I'd stay overnight and always come back with a present for the kids. Mainly because I missed them. I'm not quite sure if they missed me or not. I'm sure they did. They certainly liked the presents. So I'd come into the house and I'd say, "Close your eyes and put your hands out." And of course they would close their eyes and I'd put something into their hands. And before I even had time to say, "It's time to look," they already had their eyes open and were ripping into whatever was there. This evening as we gather around the Lord's table, I want to say to us, it's time for a look. The Lord's Supper is time for us to look. It's a time for us to look on the elements that are before us and to consider what they mean. They're mere symbols, but very important symbols to remind us of our Saviour and of his death. And so as we come to remember him, we look at them and him. There are four ways I think we can gather to remember Jesus this evening. And I just want to share them very briefly. And they're loosely tied in with that last little chorus of "I'm in right, out right, upright, down right." Loosely. We begin, I believe, by looking backwards. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says about the bread and the cup, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in order to remember somebody, we always have to look back. Look back into our memories. Look back into time, into history, and to think on what happened. And so Paul says we are to remember Jesus. And as we gather around the Lord's table, it is his table.
We gather to remember his body and his blood. And so we remember Jesus. Jesus began this meal with his disciples on the night he was about to be betrayed. Jesus knew that the cross lay before him. He knew he was about to die. He was about to achieve all that God had set out for him to do. And Jesus wanted to leave his disciples then and all subsequent followers afterwards this meal. A meal with which to remember him and his great sacrifice on the cross for each one of us. After all, at the heart of the Christian message is God's amazing grace and mercy and love shown on the cross of Calvary. As we look on the bread, we look backward and remember Jesus' body broken. As we look on the cup this evening, we look backward and remember his blood shed on our behalf. Jesus died in our place. He atoned for our sin. His death has brought us life. His death has brought us forgiveness from our sin. As we look back, we remember Jesus' life. We remember his birth and his early years. We recall his 3 years of ministry, his teaching and the miracles that he performed. He shone light into darkness. He breathed life into deadness. He taught us how to live God's way and pointed us back to his and to our Father in heaven. Of course, at the heart of looking backward, we come to the encounter in the upper room with his disciples. We recall his betrayal at the hand of one of them, one of the 12 closest people to him. And in Matthew 26, where we read from earlier, we saw how Jesus told the 12 of them that one of them was going to betray him. And they all denied it. Even Judas, who was about to betray Jesus, looked him in the eye. I'm not quite sure Judas actually would even have managed to look him in the eye. But he said to Jesus, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Deceitful until the end. Yet Jesus knew. And still he shared that meal. Looking backward, we think on Jesus' words as he said in Matthew 26 and 26, as he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." What did he mean? He meant that this bread was to remind them of his body, which would soon be broken on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was about to be arrested and tried. And in the midst of that, he'd be beaten and whipped, spat upon, mocked, a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He would then have to endure the pain of carrying his own cross out of the city and up the hill. And after enduring all of that, he would be nailed to the cross, his body broken. The pain, the agony he endured must have been unbearable. And yet he bore that for me and for you. Looking backward, we think in Jesus' words in verse 27 as he took the cup and gave thanks before offering it to them. And he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What did he mean? He meant that this cup of wine was to remind them of his blood, which would be shed upon their behalf. Throughout the Old Testament period, as we well know, blood sacrifices had to be regularly made to atone for sin. Here Jesus was doing away with that forever. His sacrifice was to be the final and complete sacrifice. His blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb of God, would take away the sin of the world. His blood was shed that we might be forgiven. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." On the cross, Jesus' blood was shed for each one of us. Our sins are forgiven through his sacrifice. He paid the penalty for our sin. We are redeemed. And so, as we come and gather around the Lord's table, whenever we do that, we should always look backward and remember all that Jesus achieved. We should never forget the price that was paid. And as we look back and as we remember, we should be drawn to thankfulness and to praise. Not only should we look backward, but I believe we should look upwards as well. Jesus died and was buried, and on the third day, God raised him to life again.
After 40 days, Jesus ascended up into heaven, and he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. Matthew points us heavenward in his gospel when he records the words of Jesus at the Lord's Supper. In verse 29 of Matthew 26, I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Paul, writing to the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 11:26, from whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. What? Until he comes. He's anticipating Jesus' return again for those who believe in him. Of course, on that day when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples stood looking heavenward. An angel came and said that in the same way that he went, he would return. So we need to be looking upward for his return. Not upward all the time that we trip ourselves up as we're walking through life trying to help those around us and as we try and share the love of God with them. But looking upward in the sense of eagerly awaiting, expecting Christ's return at any moment. It could come at any time. Are you ready? Are you ready? More than simply looking for his return, looking upward causes us to think of Jesus on his throne. Paul, in writing to the Philippians in chapter 2, that wonderful chapter, says that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God. Didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, writes Paul, and became obedient to death, even death upon a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ, the Christ who died on the cross, now sits on the throne. Not only does he sit on the throne of heaven, but he ought to sit on the throne of our hearts. He's been appointed by God to occupy the throne of the heart of each one of us. He alone is worthy to have complete sovereignty over our will. As we come to the table, we should look upward. We should look upward. And we should earnestly seek again to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. Every time we come to celebrate this meal, we ought to do that. To reaffirm that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That we recognize that we want to give him the throne of our lives. We look backward. We remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We look upward and see him seated on the throne. And we seek to make him Lord of our lives. And as we gather at the table, I believe we should look inward as well. Paul, in the latter part of the text we read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man, a woman, a child ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We ought to examine ourselves. That's what looking inward means. The word for examine here translated means to test, to prove, or to test to approve something. He wants them to examine themselves to see if they are fit and if they are worthy to eat of the bread and to drink of the wine to remember Jesus. It's a solemn ordinance of the Lord that they were partaking in, and so they ought to do so with due regard. And we too, when we come to share in the Lord's Supper, ought to examine ourselves. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, just to give you a loose bit of context without going into too much detail, he was writing to a people who were divided. Some were coming to a meal and leaving hungry, while others were indulging themselves and even became drunk. I don't think there are divisions amongst us in that way. I don't think that the wealthy come and eat and the poor get left by the side. But still, we ought to examine our hearts. We ought to examine ourselves to see where we stand, to see if there are things in our lives that we need to sort out with the purest motives possible. We need to look into our hearts and to request God's help to purge us of every attitude, every ambition that is contrary to the mind and will of our Lord Jesus. We need to consider our thoughts, our words, our actions. We need to root out the sin that's within our lives and in sincere repentance. With genuine love and with a deep gratitude, we need to recall how Jesus died that we might live. He became poor that we might become rich. He gave his all that we might have all the grace and the goodness of God. Look inward. Look inward and deal with your own sin before God and allow him to cleanse you and to renew you and to restore you. And lastly, as we come to the table, I think we need to come looking forward. In Matthew 26 and 29, Jesus said, as we thought on earlier, that he wouldn't drink of the vine again until he drank it anew with them in God's kingdom. Paul said, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus is anticipating coming back for his people. He's anticipating coming back to take us to be with him in glory. And Paul is looking forward to the Lord's return as well. This meal we share is a temporary meal. There will come a day when we will take it no more. Why? For on that day, Jesus will come and we will see him face to face. We will not need to be reminded of him, for we will be with him. What a glorious day. Jesus, our Saviour, came the first time as a peasant. The second time, he will come as the Prince of God. He came the first time in humility. He will come the second time in great glory and with great power. He came the first time to occupy the cross. He will come the second time to occupy a throne before which every single knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we ought to look forward. Jesus has saved us and he has redeemed us. He died that our sins could be forgiven. He rose again to conquer death and hell. He ascended into heaven to prepare a place for each one of us. And he's promised. He's promised that he's coming back for us, for those of us who believe in him, who trust in him, for those of us who have crowned him as Lord of our lives. The pain and the suffering of this world will be over. We need to look forward joyfully and gratefully. And so as we gather around the Lord's table in just a moment, as we take the bread and take the wine, I just want to say to us, it's time for a look. It's time for a look backward. It's time for a look upward, time for a look inward, and definitely time for a look forward. And we can do that with faith and with love, with gratitude and with hope. With all of our hearts, minds, souls, let us concentrate tonight on what Jesus did for us upon the cross. And as we share in the bread and the cup, may we individually, may we collectively give thanks to God this evening. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being able to come and share tonight in worship. We thank you as part of that, that we've been able to share in your word and thinking on some of that together. And we thank you that we're about to share more as we share the bread and the cup to remember Jesus' sacrifice for each one of us. Lord, we thank you. And we pray this evening that it is indeed time for us to take a look. Time for us to take that look backward and to remember all that you have done. To take that look upward and to see you upon the throne and to look for you coming back. To take that look inward and to confess our sin before you, even that sin we have committed this very afternoon. And Lord, then to look forward in anticipation for that day when you will return to take us to be with you. Lord, we long for that to be today. Lord, we long to be with you forever. But Lord, we know you've placed us here and only you know the time and the hour that you will return. Lord, help us to be ready and help us every time we come to share this meal to remember that it's time for a look and to remember your great love for us. Accept our praise and continue with us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.